Okay, it's 5:30, so this is the last talk of today. It's me standing between you and beer, hopefully I can keep you all engaged. So I've given technical talks in the past. This is my 6th Phosphor G. This year I'm actually not. This is a completely non-technical talk. Hoping that there'll be some people out there who have got ideas and things that they want to pursue, and you're maybe not sure if you should do it or not, and hopefully this is going to motivate you to do it. That's my intention anyway. So I'm Mark Varley. I'm the founder and CEO of Address Cloud. We provide software services to the insurance industry, predominantly in the UK and Ireland, but we've got users around the world. We've got about 400 users in the US as well, using our services for essentially insuring complicated risks, so things like wildfire risk, flood risk. We're not an open source company, we are a closed source company, but we're built on open source technology, but we do give back as much as we can, and we're gonna continue to do so. So I've got a quick theory, which I'd like to test out, that I think there's two types of people at Phosphor G. I think there are geographers who've fallen into IT, and I think there's IT people who've fallen into geography. So who would classify themselves as a geographer that has fallen into IT? Okay, great. And the IT guys who've become geographers? Yep, okay. Me included. So, you're both. Okay, great. So, for me, I did geography at school. I hated it. I shouldn't tell that to the customers. But the only thing I can remember from 5 years of geography is this. Any guesses why? but now I run an open source, I run a company, a geospatial company based on open source technology. So how did that happen? I started my career in 2000. Coming out of university, I got picked up by a big consultancy. We weren't really doing much cutting edge stuff. So my first project was developing an application in COBOL, which if anyone knows, that was a language written in 1959. This was in the 2000s, so not very kind of innovative. But then a requirement came up from the customer to be able to start taking into account geography. And this time in the insurance industry, people were using GIS, but it was always after sale. So it was always, we've insured all these houses, okay, are we screwed or not? And what it was doing was taking that and making that in the point of sale process. And I got involved in that, and I became the geo guy essentially in my company, helping insurers out with all these kind of things that they worry about. So there's a lot of geography in insurance. I always thought insurance was kind of dry, boring industry. It's actually super interesting, particularly from a GIS perspective. They're gambling their money, they're gambling our premiums essentially on against geographic risk. So being able to deliver that insight to them is super useful. So yeah, but for me, geo was kind of, I was as a consultant, as an advisor, I wasn't really getting into my background in the past was in software development, but in that particular role, I was a pure business consultant helping with integration, and I didn't really know what was happening under the box. It was a black box solution for us. It was not something that we really got to touch. So I spent about 10 years, I kind of carved out quite a good niche there, going in and working with insurance companies and advising them around technology choices and ways of replatforming and essentially transforming their business using geo, but all the time without really getting into the nitty gritty of the software. And then, one of my bosses in 2011, we were working with a large vendor who were based in California. We got sent out to a conference in San Diego that one or two of you might have heard of. And I thought it was awesome. I went along, I saw some incredible stuff. I really, in terms of the use case and the technology, I know this particular organization get quite a lot of stick here. But they do great tech, and they do have some awesome user experiences, and use cases are fantastic. So yeah, completely blown away. And I came back, and I was so excited. I was a complete fanboy. I'd had the kind of the white light flashed at me, and I was like, "Wow, this stuff is awesome. We need to do everything that I've just seen." But this is the kind of response that we got back. So both from within all the organization and talking to our account manager, it's like, "No, are you that thing we showed you? It looks really cool, yeah, but no, it doesn't actually work yet." Okay, great. You guys. You got an enterprise. We had an enterprise license agreement, but this particular gadget was an acquisition and it wasn't a core part of the platform, so it wasn't included. So it was going to cost us a bunch of money. And, well, it also it depends on this other kind of third-party component, and you need this, and we haven't got it, and it's too expensive. So pretty disappointing, you know. Really, I was a fanboy. That whole kind of process of being sent there was a complete waste of time. Anyway, fast forward on 2 years, and, we saw this thing called Phosphor G that came to the UK, and it was in Nottingham, and it wasn't too far. And I kind of looked at it. It was going to cost a couple of £100 to go. And I got approval to go. I had to sleep in university halls of residence, which was quite interesting. It'd been 15 years, I think, since I'd been to uni. But I went. And it was great. It was Phosphor G. Anyone went to Phosphor G Nottingham? Yeah. Graham at the back. Anyone else? Yeah. Anyone here who's their first Phosphor G? Okay, fantastic. Welcome. So this was my first Phosphor G. And it was great. The presentations, they were people like me. There weren't these kind of robots who'd been rehearsing their presentation to within an inch of its life. They were normal people and talking about stuff that I could relate to. And there wasn't much whooping. If anyone's been to San Diego, there's a lot of woo, yeah. And there was none of that, thankfully. Thank you, Max. So, and the great thing was, not only I didn't have to wait till the end of the presentation, I could be sitting there as someone was presenting something cool and download it, and there it was working on my laptop, which was so incredible. You know, I came away with a complete Phosphor G advocate. So, pretty happy. And anyway, so I kind of went back to my day job, and we were working at the time on a huge transformation project for this insurance company. It was a 4-year piece of work. And Katie was one of my users. I said, Katie, look, we've done it. What do you think? And it's pretty disappointing. So don't ask the users what they think. Bad idea. But I wanted to drill into it. And I was like, okay, we've spent all this money. We've spent millions. We've spent 4 years building this thing. What don't you like about it? After that. And it turned out that the thing that she was happy with the overall platform, but the thing that was letting it down was the UK geocoding. So, you know, we thought pretty straightforward, turning addresses into coordinates. But unfortunately, the software that we were using, we just upgraded that as well, and it just really wasn't cutting the mustard. It wasn't doing the job. And it was for the reasons there, really. So my brain started thinking, okay, can I do this? Can I do something better? Can I, you know, there must be solutions out there, but can I build something better? So I did. At this time, I was traveling a lot. I was on buses and trains and planes a lot. I had some free time, and I sat there and I built a prototype. I demoed it to my boss, and my boss said, okay, it's awesome. It's streets ahead of any of the competition. But you're one guy on your own, you know, so, we can't work with you. And also, you're an employee. We can't take something that you've built in your spare time and get rid of this huge vendor. So I quit. I partnered with another company. So, if you have an idea for a product that you build and you want to sell that to a huge organization, don't be scared. What's a good way to do often is to try and find another small company who are already supplying services, who are already an approved solutions provider. So this company, I showed them what I'd done. They said, yeah, that's great. And Warren, he's not here today, but he's at the conference. Together we put together a proposal. And ultimately, we went and competed against some of the biggest names in the industry. There were 5 companies competing. We went through a year of procurement and very rigorous testing, and we won it. So we won a 3-year contract with a huge FTSE 100 company, and so Address Cloud was born, and that's really how we started and how we started the business. Now, I've been to Phosphor G ever since. So every Phosphor G I go to, I always get something out of it. I mean, sometimes I'm kind of sitting there a bit hungover in a presentation. Somebody will say something that maybe nothing to do with what I was thinking I was going to get, but I always get something out of it. So I thought I'd just do a quick run through of my Phosphor Gs and what my takeaways were. So Phosphor G Seoul in 2015. At this point, I was unemployed, so it was quite a. It was before we were awarded the contract, paid my own money, got the plane out to Seoul, and was super glad that I did. I arrived, and the first thing I did was took a workshop with Paul Ramsey and learned PostGIS, which we use at the core of everything we do. It's where all our data comes from. So that was incredible to be, you know, to be in a room with the guy who basically created the software, teaching you, and for like what, $100 or whatever. You know, that's just incredible. So well worth doing. I was in a drone workshop. So anyway, I was in Korea. We did a drone workshop. The Koreans were so worried that we were going to take our crappy drones and send them to the North Korea that they sent us a military attaché. Really serious dude with a hat, and then another young guy with a clipboard. And we kind of saw them starting very, very nervous. But after a while, we just couldn't get this thing off the ground. It just kept on crashing. So that was quite amusing. We didn't start World War III, luckily. I guess the biggest takeaway, generally, because he's 6'3", is this chap here who I met in the drone workshop, who's now my partner and Address Cloud CTO. We met at Phosphor G in 2015. So Phosphor G Bonn, following year, a few of you guys know you went there. I ran a workshop there on Elasticsearch, and which I'd kind of been up all night before sweating over, and I think it went down okay. I still get some questions about it, which is good. I presented, so I did a presentation in the most intimidating room I've ever presented it in my whole life, and got to sit on Helmut's specially reinforced, very large chair. That was quite good fun. I learned, and that's where we come across vector tiles. So that was the first time I really heard about and was aware of what a vector tile was, which again, now in our product, they are a key part of our product, is our vector tiles. And I got a contracting gig working at MIT. So that was pretty cool. Again, at the time, you know, we'd signed our first customer, but actually the first challenge, you know, the challenge, some people say, oh, once you've got your first customer, that's great, you know. You'll be made, but it doesn't necessarily work like that, particularly with the insurance industry where sales cycles are very long. So I found myself with one big customer, but of bills to pay. So this was awesome. So I went to work and helped Tom out at MIT, did a two-month project working on Indonesian flood mapping and re-architecting their flood mapping platform. So that was great fun and strengthened my relationship with Tom. So I was working for Tom at the time, and now Tom's working with me. So things have changed. Went to Boston in 2017. Again, another great conference. And I gave a talk on serverless. I thought, great, we're doing this thing called serverless. No one's going to have known about this. And there were like 20 talks on serverless. So, but it was good practice, you know, and great to really understand. And I think, you know, the fact that if it's just you doing it, then, you know, it's something that could be interesting, but everyone's doing it. It's indeed a thing. And it is the future. Got to go and see MIT. So I think for me, Phosphor G is as much about what you learn in the workshops as your kind of downtime as well and new experiences. And I got to go and visit MIT and live out my Matt Damon fantasy. And then also we were sitting in towards the end of the conference, sitting in a workshop, and it was a T-Rex workshop, I think it was. We looked at understanding how vector tiles were served. And actually got a light bulb thinking, wow, we can do this ourselves. We, at the time, we were using Mapbox, and Mapbox were great, but their commercials weren't really working for us. They had a kind of minimum plan for any commercial use, which was, as a small company, it was hugely expensive for us. They now no longer have that. But we came away, and we realized that we could do it for free. And then finally, Phosphor G last year. Every year I get to the end of Phosphor G and they announce it next year. And if it's somewhere that's really far away, I think, oh, there's no way I'm going to go there. And then couple of months later, I'm looking at flights, and then I book. But I actually took the whole family last year with me, and we did a camping trip in the Serengeti, which was awesome. If you go camping in the Serengeti, though, just be aware that the campsites don't have any boundaries or any fences. So those lions that you go and see, they're just outside, just like you and a piece of canvas in between. But thankfully, I still have two children. And I convinced Tom to come and work with me. So Tom started working with me last year. So it's coming up to a year's anniversary of us working full time together. And it's been fantastic. And Tom learned what a cloud optimized GeoTIFF is. And I won't pretend to explain that I understand it. But if you want to go tomorrow at 2:30, Tom's going to tell you why they're awesome. So I guess to conclude, in terms of a takeaway, really, when I started, and I used to work before I was, I ran the company, I used to look at and evaluate proposals from companies like me. And at the time, open source, you just, you know, you'd get laughed out of a boardroom with open source. That's no longer the case. You know, people are looking, they're the customers, they've gone through the whole pattern. And going back to Jody's talk earlier, now you're the procurement people are becoming more and more smart, and they understand what this is, you know. Don't be afraid to challenge an established market. So, you know, if you're a small company and you're going against big companies, Vincent mentioned that he does, we certainly do. We find ourselves at the moment in some very huge procurement processes where we're a 2.5-man company, and the next smallest has probably got 250 people. But, you know, this we're winning, you know, this thing's happening. I don't know if people saw very hot off the press like 2 days ago, Pitney Bowes sold their software business. So if any MapInfo users, no? There's maybe one, there's probably only one left. But they sold the business, and Stephen Feldman, who can't be here this year, put an interesting tweet that that he saw MapInfo. He was previously the, I think, UK or European managing director, that he'd basically seen them being squeezed out by simple cloud-based alternatives. That's us. That's companies like us and Vincent's company. You know, we're out there, and you know, we're really making a difference. Thank you. So I guess to conclude, you know, if you've got a good idea and you've got good market fit, I think that's probably the key thing, is having good market fit, then persist and you will prevail. Don't be afraid to pivot. So we started as a geocoder. We're still a geocoder at heart, but we've added in data enrichment, data pre-fill services, location intelligence, and we've built our own mapping platform. So, you know, follow the money, you know, follow what your customers want, because if your customers want it, there'll be other customers who want it as well. And yeah, attend and support Phosphor G. You know, it's a fantastic community. We try and kind of open source bits of what we can. We both give presentations every year, and I'm pleased to say we're sponsoring Phosphor G UK in Edinburgh this year. So anyone who's UK or can get to Edinburgh, it's a fantastic city. It's always a great conference, so come along and we'll see you there. That's everything from me. Thank you very much for your time. And I'm happy to take any questions. If everyone's thirsty and they're thinking about beer. Okay, yep. It's end of September. We haven't got it on there. I think it's the, anyone know with Phosphor G UK is? I think it's the third week in September. Yeah, but it's a very different event, Phosphor G UK, but it's obviously a lot smaller and kind of quite UK focused, but it's very well worth attending. It's a good event. Oh, 19th to the 20th. Thank you, Jody. Yes?
Our business still one big customer?
We've got, so our biggest customer, they're still our biggest customer in terms of the size of their organization, but our biggest customer by billing now is another insurance company. So it's doing really well. We've doubled revenues year on year for the last 3 years. And yeah, we've got quite a nice portfolio. We've got two large insurance customers, a few smaller insurers. We've got like some pet insurance company in Ireland who are using us, you know. And we've also diversified from just insurance to logistics and some smaller organizations as well. But at the moment, as I say, the sales cycles are very long. So we're in RFP processes with probably 3 or 4 global insurers, like huge companies. Who knows? Maybe we get it, or maybe we don't. If we get it, then next year we'll be hiring. So. We provide a geocoding service. We provide a location intelligence service. So we'll basically give, essentially, if you're buying insurance, you put in your address. Behind the scenes, the insurer calls us, and we tell them where the address is, and we tell them everything we know about it. So we'll tell them the flood risk, the subsidence risk, how many bedrooms it has, how many bathrooms, what it's made of, what's the roof made of for that particular property. So they can then make a decision as to whether they want to write it, and if so, how much. And it helps them differentiate between competitors who may be just doing the same thing but at a postal code level. So it's really giving kind of hyper accurate risk assessments. All kinds. So we use, it's predominantly commercial closed source data. So we work with third party data providers in the UK and or globally. And we also take open data and we cleanse it, enrich it, and combine it ourselves. So in the past, we've always kind of, our approach has been kind of data agnostic. We'll tell you where the property is and we'll tell you all of these different opinions about that property. But we're in the process at the moment of kind of curating our data and saying, well, it's in a flood area, it's in a bad flood area, but we know from this other data source, for example, that it's an apartment on the top floor. So actually your competitors won't write it because they're taking a two-dimensional look. But we can tell you it's on the top floor. So, you know, go ahead and write it. The flood water's not going to get that high, you know. So starting to do that kind of work as well. Any other questions? No? Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for listening to me and enjoy your evening.